Turn over to the book of Ephesians once again. Anybody know where we are in Ephesians? We're close. We actually did, believe it or not, we finished chapter 3. So, therefore we are in chapter... No, we're just starting chapter 4 today. But that, by the way, that doesn't mean we can't go back, right? We can always go back and look some of the details here. But we really are in this next section in the book of Ephesians here, chapter 4. If everybody wants to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. And we will read together as an assembly. We're going to read verses 1 all the way down to verse 6. Ephesians 4, verses 1 down to verse 6. Everybody ready? Here we go. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have this morning to study your word. We're grateful for the privilege that we have as an assembly of believers to lift up another family and another individual as they will be going into surgery tomorrow, and all that that means, all that that entails, and that we as an assembly, we suffer together as the body of Christ. We rejoice together. We can minister to one another and seek to reach out and help. And it's a privilege that we share. Because of being members one of another in Christ. So we do right now lift up Katie and the Davis family, the entire family, as they just have all these years just rested in your word, trusted your word, sought you and sought to grow in the sufficiency of your grace and then to understand that. And so we pray for them now, for the surgery and for the days ahead, for the recovery and for all that that means and all that that entails. We thank you for this passage of scripture that we have before us today. We thank you for the opportunity to labor together with you in this endeavor, the endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and to do so in the bond of peace. Well, thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, of course, as we come now here to this section of the book of Ephesians, we are now going into where the Apostle Paul is focusing now on the idea of the walk of the believer. Based upon the doctrine that you have in chapters 1, chapter 2, and chapter number 3. And let me ask a question as we proceed here. How important do you think the walk of the believer actually is, or the conduct of the believer actually is?
Very important.
Very what? Why? Why is...
People are watching.
What's that? Okay, people are watching. Good, but... What was the first part of the word? You said the word effectually working in you. What was the first part that you said? It's a demonstration of the word working effectually in you. Excellent. So it's a it puts on display the fact that the word of God does work. Why else is it important? Yes, go ahead, Jim.
It's what we're going to be doing in eternity.
Interesting, isn't it?
What he says?
He says it's what we're going to be doing in eternity. We're going to be allowing God's word, you know, not just here and now, but actually in eternity, we're going to be functioning on the basis of God's grace. Okay? When you think about the layout of the book of Ephesians, how many chapters are there in Ephesians? There's 6 chapters, so it's pretty easy to see that the first 3 chapters, of course, are heavy, heavy doctrine. And wonderful doctrine. I mean, we've gone and traveled into the heavenly places. We've been studying Ephesians for quite some time now. I mean, we've looked into the heavenly places and all the way into the heart of God, into eternity past, taking us into the ages to come, and have seen that which thrills His heart, that which He, if I can say it in human terms, that which He just cannot wait to have complete and to literally going on into the world without end. Like I said before, if you look at the end of chapter 3, look at the end of chapter 3, verse 20. 3:20, He says this, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." We talked about that last week, right? You know, all the things that Ephesians 3, that God says He's going to do, God's able to do that, and He's going to bring them to pass. He's able, and He's going to bring them to pass there. And it says, according to the power that worketh in us, the power that works in us is His Word. And it works by faith. It works when you believe it, right? It's like a flashlight with batteries in it. If you don't turn the flashlight on, well, the power's there. You just got to turn it on. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That is what energizes the Word in the life as the believer. But then he says at verse 21, he says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Okay, for how long? That's a long time. Aren't you glad you're not going to have a mortgage for that long? Or doctor bills for that long? Or back taxes for that long? I mean, it says throughout all ages. Make the connection back with chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1 here. Chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10. It says that in the dispensation of the what? The fullness of times. Notice time is plural there. So there's going to be a dispensation in which the purpose for which time was created is going to be realized. The dispensation of fullness of times. It's its intended purpose. And its intended purpose is going to be to glorify Christ. And you're going to be a part of that. See that? Look at chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Look at chapter number 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. He says that in the what? Ages to come. So there's a whole bunch of, and notice ages is plural there. Right? So when you put those two verses together back with chapter 3, verse 21, he says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. There's a whole bunch of ages yet to come. You know what? You're going to be living a long time. Thank God it's going to be in a different body, right? You probably don't want to live a long time in the body you have right now. You probably don't want to live another 100 years in the body you have right now. Some of y'all that are young here today and you don't have the aches and the pains and the irks and this and that and everything, you don't realize that yet. But just give it enough time and you'll realize it, right? That, man, if I had to keep functioning in this body for, you know, another 100 years, it might not feel so good. But when that verse says, throughout all ages, world without end, the one we're in right now is going to end, but there's one coming that's not going to end. And that one coming in which is not going to end, the dispensation, the fullness of times, ages to come. You go back to chapter number 2 there. Go back to chapter number 2, verse 7. 2:7 again. He says that in the ages to come, He might show the not just the riches of His grace, but the exceeding riches of His grace. It is what? You ever thought about the fact that God is kind? His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's just going to thrill God's heart, if I can say it in human terms again. It is just going to so excite the heart of God that in the ages to come, each successive age, He's going to come and put on display some new exceeding capacity of His grace in His kindness toward us. You've heard me say before, it's going to be so overwhelming in a good way. But we're going to have lived, you know, in an age to come and have just been so thrilled with who God is and His capacity to glorify Christ and put on display His creativity. I mean, if this is what He can do in a fallen creation, think about it, what's going to be like when it's all lifted and all purged and purified. But it's just going to thrill the heart of God. And it's like He's going to say to us, He's going to say, you think that was good? Watch what I'm going to do next. And then He's going to bring out some new exceeding riches of His grace. And so then that age goes by. You're going to be living a long time, okay? And then He's going to come out and say, okay, you think that was cool? Watch the next one. And we're going to be begging God to stop. It's going to be so exceeding great. No, God, we can't take this anymore. This is too wonderful. And I'm kind of facetious when I say that. Listen, that's what the Bible teaches. It teaches us the ages to come, the dispensation in which He's going to put on display the purpose for which He created times. And the purpose that He created time was to glorify Christ. To put on display His capacity, His creativity, His genius in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are privileged to be a part of that. You've got a glorious future. It may not seem like that here, now, in time, But you've got a glorious future in the Lord Jesus Christ. You really do have a purpose. We really do. You know? In the light of that, the Apostle Paul, chapter number 4, look at what he says. In the light of all that, I mean, entering into the heavenly places, into the heart of God, into the ages to come, in anticipation of all that, chapter 4, he says, I therefore. What do you say to do when you see the word therefore? What's the therefore, therefore? And so we just told you, right? Based upon everything we've learned in chapter 1, in chapter 2, in chapter number 3, he now is going to beseech us. He's going to beseech us in relationship to our walk. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And so beginning here in the book of Ephesians now, the whole rest of the book really focuses in particular on our walk. Now right at the end of the book, he focuses especially on our warfare, the battle that we face, put on the armor of God and so forth. But really from this point on, the Apostle Paul, it's not that he never mentions again our identity, but based upon our identity now, he goes on to our walk. Now, you and I have heard about the idea of, let me just put up here on the board, I want to do this again because there are some verses that sometimes really challenge people in relationship to, some verses seem to teach that you are complete and some verses seem to suggest that you're not yet complete. Some verses seem to suggest, say that you are accepted and some maybe not and so forth. So understand this as we proceed in this section in the book of Ephesians. We talk about the idea of your standing and your what? Your state. I guess I should spell that right. Did I get that right? Let me just do that again here. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. Standing. Your state. Or we talk about your position and your what? Practice. All right. We talk about your identity and your what? What, let me see here. I don't know here. I wrote that down. I guess I don't have one for that. Anyway, watch this. How about here? This one. I think about your conduct. Somebody fill something in right there. Okay, if you would. You got your condition and your conduct. Right. Let me see what else I had on here. I have a couple more. I want you to see here. Condition, your conduct. Oh, here it is. Your wealth and your walk. Anybody got one for that yet?
Maybe like higher
perceived or higher. Your identity. All these have to do with what? Your unchangeable identity in Christ. All these have to do with, including whatever that one is there. All these have to do with what? Your response to this, okay? There's got to be something. Your identity and your walk, whatever. Just put walk there. But your practice. We already have practice. Your state. Your conduct. Your walk. Your response. Put response there. That doesn't exactly fit, but it'll work, right? So this category is chapters 1-3 of Ephesians. Everybody see that there? This would be 4-6 of Ephesians. Now think about who designed this layout in Ephesians? Who did that? The Holy Spirit. That means that this pattern is there for a reason. The pattern is first to understand our standing, our position, our identity, our condition, our wealth in Christ. You got to see that first. Before you can understand how it is to impact your state, your practice, your response to it, your conduct, your walk. People flip-flop that. They think, in order to be complete in Christ, I have to act like I'm complete in Christ. In order to be accepted, I have to act saintly. In order to be a saint, I have to act like a saint. That's backwards. Right? Rather, how does someone become a saint of the Most High God, according to Scripture? It's truly a free gift. Do you like things that are free? Depends on what they are, right? You know, what's the gift exchange thing during Christmas time? It's the bad elephant joke kind of a thing, you know? you don't like those things. The white elephant joke, yeah, whatever it is, you know? Listen, something that's free that has value to it, you don't mind getting that. Well, do you think eternal life has got value to it? Life in Christ, eternal life in Christ. It's a free gift based upon the finished work of Christ. It truly is free. And you get it just by receiving it. Like any gift, you receive it. And so it's important to remember the order, your identity, and then a response to that identity. That's the pattern. The pattern is the same in Colossians. The pattern is the same in Philippians. All right? It's actually the same in Romans. All these verses and passages about our identity and then how you practice that. Okay? Let me have you notice some passages of Scripture that understanding this concept will help solve. And so you'll see that it's not a contradiction. Look with me over to the book of Colossians. Look over to Colossians 2 and Colossians 4. Look over to Colossians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 4. Watch this. Colossians chapter 2 and watch verse... I'm going to start at verse 9, but in particular verse 10. So Colossians 2:9 says this, "For in Him..." Who's the Him there? That'd be Christ, okay? It says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are what?" Complete. "Ye are complete," where? "In Him, which is the head of all principality and power." You see the reference to being complete? Okay, so are you already complete in Christ?
Yes.
That's what the verse says. But if you look at chapter 4, look over to chapter 4, this time verse 12, watch this. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Well, wait a minute then. Are you complete or aren't you?
You are.
Well, then why? If you and I are already complete, why, and like if the Colossians were already complete, why would Epaphras be praying that they would be complete in Christ? What's it say? Yes, that they would stand in their identity. So, both passages use the word complete. One is a reference to this category. The other is a reference to this category. You're standing, and the response to the standing. You're standing in your state, your position, your practice, your identity, your response, your condition, your conduct, your wealth, your walk. See that? So is there a contradiction in those verses?
No.
It would be like just exactly like you and me. Why do we keep coming here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? And don't say it because we got nothing better to do. Okay, come on now. Encourage me a little bit more, would you please? No. To be edified. To be built up in the faith. Because we don't want to have a proper response to what the Word of God says. That's why you read your Bible through the week. Again, like Dan during the announcement time, he mentioned the Bible reading program. Start your Bible reading program. Read through the whole Bible again in a year. You can do it by reading 3 to 4 chapters a day. Get on that program. Why do you do that? To be built up in the faith. You see that? Look at another one. Look, if you would, over to Ephesians 1 and 2 Corinthians 5. Look at Ephesians 1 and 2 Corinthians 5. These verses will truly help us understand some verses that sometimes really confuse some people. Or can confuse you if you don't get this principle here. Look at Ephesians 1. Watch verse 6. Ephesians 1:6 says this. And again, I'll ask you, do you rejoice in this verse? Look what he says. Ephesians 1:6 says this. "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." What do we learn in that verse about our identity in Christ?
We are
what?
Accepted.
And who did that?
God
did. God the Father made us accepted in the Beloved. Who's the Beloved? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one in whom God is well pleased. Your acceptance has already been settled by God who put you into Christ. And Christ is the one who God loves. And God says, "Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You are already accepted in the one in whom God finds pleasure. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You don't have to go around seeking to find acceptance in life. Because the God of heaven and earth, the living God, is the one who's already made you accepted in the beloved. But wait a minute. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 now. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 9. Is this a contradiction? 2 Corinthians 5, 9 says this, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Everybody see that verse? Wait a minute now. Are you accepted or aren't you accepted? Well, then why would Paul be saying in this verse about the Corinthians, "We labor, therefore, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted"? Isn't that a contradiction? What's that? You've got to read the context. It's important, by the way. Thank you, Nathan. That's exactly right. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." See that? And he says that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Who's in you? Christ is in you. Done by Christ. See that? "According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." If you do it, what's it going to be? If it's your flesh, what is it going to be? But if it's Christ doing it in you, what's it going to be? It's going to be good. See that? So do we have a contradiction? On the one hand, Paul says he's already made us accepted. The other hand, he says that you may be accepted. What's the explanation? It's here. It's standing and state, position and practice, identity and response, condition and conduct, wealth and walk. Simply this, that what the Scripture, it not only teaches us about what God is doing, about who He has made us to be in Christ, but on the basis of that information, He beseeches us to let that impact our thinking and therefore our life. It is to be the natural right response to grace. Look at another one. Look with me to Ephesians 2 this time. And stay in 2 Corinthians 5. Look at Ephesians 2 this time. And stay there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at Ephesians 2. Watch this. Ephesians 2, 6. Ephesians 2, 6 says this. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Okay, according to that verse, where are you actually seated? See that? Now, you look very much to me like you're sitting here. It's an illusion. I should love Ken, all the great comments and everything. So, you know. But wait a minute now. Is Paul and are we denying reality when we're very much sitting here today. But that verse says we're set together with Him in heavenly places. Not only that, look at what he says over here in 2 Corinthians 5. It's an illusion. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 6 this time. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 says this, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are what from the Lord?" Now wait a minute. Wait, Paul, make up your mind here. Are we set together with Christ in the heavenly places, or are we absent from the Lord?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Good answer. Right. Yes and yes. But how can both be true?
One is position.
See, one is your identity. You're already complete, already accepted, already set with Christ in heavenly places. The other is, you know, we still live here in this fallen creation, in these fleshly bodies, and it is in this fallen creation, in these fleshly bodies, that we have the privilege to have a grace response to grace, to have a love response to grace. Is there anything, think about, what's the word response mean anyway? Just in life, what is response? It's action. And it's reaction. What else is response? Response is a proof of what?
How you interpret where you're at.
Excellent. Good. Response is a proof of what?
What you believe.
What you believe. Response is a proof of what?
Choice.
See, all those things. Response is a proof of life. Right? You know, you, the paramedics come across an accident and so forth. What's one of the first things they check for? The guy's got a pulse. A pulse is a response. It's evidence of something. And so when we look at these verses about here's your standing, here's the state, here's your identity, here's your response, we're simply saying that when we take God's word in about who He's made us to be in Christ, in the inner man, It is designed to bring forth a response. Hence, the walk of the believer. Watch this in a couple of other passages. Look over to Colossians chapter number 2, and then we'll see it also in Ephesians chapter number 4. Look over to Colossians chapter number 2 here, and then Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at Colossians 2, watch this. You're going to see him with the idea of our standing and in our state. Alright? Look at our... Did I say Colossians 2? It's chapter 3, I'm sorry. Colossians 3. Watch verse 12. Look at Colossians 3, verse 12. He says this. Put on therefore as the... Now he's going to use three terms. The elect of God, holy and beloved. Those three terms are references to your identity in Christ. See that? You are the elect of God because you're the body of Christ. You're members of the body of Christ. You are holy because you've been set apart by God for His purpose. And you are beloved. And you're beloved why? Because you're in Christ. Is that good to know? Is this rich? See that there? So those are your, that's your identity. That's your standing. But then because of who we are, because we are the elect of God, because we are beloved, then let's put this on. Let's put on bowels of mercies. Because that's what God put on in dealing with us. Bowels of mercy. His great mercy wherewith He loved us. Let's put on bowels of mercy. Let's put on kindness. Because God is kind. He has been kind toward us through Christ Jesus, has He not? Let's put on humbleness of mind. Do you realize God actually put on humbleness of mind to deal with His creatures? Instead of pouring out His wrath and judgment on His creatures, the Godhead agreed that the second member of the Godhead would take that wrath upon Himself. And so let's put on those humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. But you know how to read that word, right? The word. How do you read that word? Long. Yes, yes. Long suffering. Read it for a long time.
Thank goodness.
Yes, and thank God. Boy, and that is a demonstration of what God is manifesting today. The fact that God, the very nature of the dispensation of grace, is a demonstration of God's capacity to put up with the rebellion over a long period of time. And so based upon who we are in Christ, we are the elect of God, we are holy, we are beloved, therefore put on the... See, standing, your state. Identity, your response. Your wealth, your walk. You see that there in that verse? Look at another passage. Look over to the book of Philippians here. Watch this. You'll appreciate how Paul does this here as well. Look at this. This time we're going to Philippians. Philippians 4. And I'm going to start at verse 10. Philippians 4 and verse 10. Look at this one here. Philippians 4:10 says this. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." They sent additional support. They manifested their care for Paul again. That's what he's writing about here, okay? And then he says in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever..." What's the next word there? There it is. See, Paul's writing about his state. When we say standing and state, when we say state, what do we mean by that? We don't mean like the state of California or the state of Texas or that kind of thing. We mean what? Your present circumstances. The condition that he's in right now. And then he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what?" Now, I don't know about you. Well, maybe I do because I'm like you and you're like me. That, okay, the Apostle Paul in that verse, he's kind of, I think, a little bit higher notch than we are, if I can say it that way. Because we're not always content with our state, are we? We like to, go ahead, what's the next word? Starts with a C, and next letter O. Yeah, we are, yeah. We tend to look at our circumstances, and we tend to find reason to complain.
Paul said he learned.
Yes, Paul says he learned. It takes learning, does it not? You can complain about your circumstances, but the problem is no one's listening, right? You know, unless they got something to get out of it, right? But when he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, that truly does take some, that takes some inner man fortitude. That takes some inner man strength. It takes some inner man resolve. It takes some inner man conviction. It takes some inner man belief. So question, what is the key to being content with your state, whatever it is? What is the key?
Resting in Christ.
What's that?
Resting in Christ.
Therefore, what?
Your state.
That's it right there. The way to be content in your state is to be content in your standing. The way to be able to look at whatever circumstances that you face, good or bad, challenging, easy, hard, emotional, financial, medical, whatever they are, you have to make a choice in the consciousness of your heart and your mind that I'm going to choose to find... I hear another illusion, yeah. But listen, you have to make a conscious choice that I'm going to trust the verse, I'm going to trust what it says, and I'm going to walk in what it says. What is walking? Walking is just one step in front of another towards a particular goal. That's all it is. And so as the circumstances of life come along, the challenges of life present themselves, you have the opportunity that I'm just going to walk in what God's Word says. I'm going to trust what it says. Go ahead, Rich.
It's amazing that in most of Paul's epistles, he is expressing concern not in their position and identity in Christ, but in their state.
Yes. Yes. Because he can see that they're struggling in their state. Mm-hmm. And hence he writes to help them understand their standing. Because if they'll rest in their standing, that is the key to resting in their state. And it really is. It truly is a conscious decision. I'm going to trust the verses. I don't mean at all to put anyone on notice here. So put everyone on notice here. Is given enough time, anyone and all of us are going to face some kind of medical issues. How are you going to deal with it? And I realize that it is easier to answer that question when you're not facing the medical issue. So mentally you'll say, oh man, I'm going to trust God's Word. I'm going to be strong in the faith. But then you get the Word and it's like, oh man, somebody help, pray for me, please. You understand that? Because it's when you're really in the circumstance, when you're in the state, that's when you make that free choice. Am I going to trust God's Word right here, right now, in my situation? You know, recently, one of the dear sisters of the local assembly had major surgery. Brain surgery. Was that a little trying? Mind if I ask? And would you say that you had to just, every fiber, every ounce of your being just had to lean on God and His Word? And would it be also fair to say, and accurate to say, that you found God to be the God of all comfort? Do you hear what she said? Let me repeat it for the internet, folks.
Thank you.
She said, yes, she found God's Word to be true, found to be a God of all comfort, but it's a constant battle because it's still there. The health issue is still there. It requires focus, doesn't it? And you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You focus on who He is. He's the living Savior. Ann, go ahead. You had a question or comment. It is. That's it. We have to know our standing, our position, our identity, our condition, our wealth in Christ. That's why chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, before he ever gets to the walk. That's why chapters 1 through 11 of Romans, before he ever gets to beseech you to present your living bodies, your bodies a living sacrifice, right? That's the pattern. You gotta just fill yourself up with what the Word of God says, who you are in Christ. So that when those challenges come, and they will come. We've talked before about the word circumstances, like the word circle. They, they, They just circle around. They'll visit this table for a little while, then they'll circle to the next table, and then the next table, and then they'll come and they'll make their way back up to this part of the room, and then they're going to circle back around and visit you guys again. You're not done yet. Visit y'all again and come back around and come and visit. And sometimes they switch back the other way and they go visit y'all more. They're just the circumstances of life. But they are truly the opportunity. Watch how Paul goes on to say this here. This is, you're still in Philippians. I'm sorry, Philippians 4. Watch this. Watch verse 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He had to learn that. Now watch what he says. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to... The key is the how-to. How to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now before we go to verse 13, listen. Verse 12. Understand the sense of what he's saying out there. He's not saying, I know how, on the one, okay, right now I'm being abased, and so I'll wait until I abound. Or, I know, right now I'm full, so my time is going to come to be hungry. No, no, that's not the sense of it. He's talking about being abased and abounding at the same time. Being full and hungry at the same moment in time. See that? How do you do that? What is the how-to? Look at verse 12 again. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Well, what is the how-to there? Is to be content with my identity, which strengthens me to be able to have a proper response to my circumstance. See that there? So look at verse 12 again. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Who is doing the instructing, and what is the instructor saying? Who's doing the instructing? The Word of God. And what is the instructor saying? God is saying, just trust my Word. Just trust me. God says, I'm believable. I'm trustworthy. You can depend on me. I'm the God of all comfort. I'm the God of hope. Who will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That what? That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, there is an instructor, all right, and he is instructing us. It's his word. He says, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then what's verse 13 say? They're just one of the most wonderful verses. What? What's that? I can do all things. But notice, what's it say? Which what? So it's through Christ which strengtheneth me. Therefore, who is our resource? And what does he do? When we do what? When we believe what he says. When we listen to the instructor, right? When we learn in whatsoever state. And so you see the pattern here. It's real simple. Our standing and our state, our position, our practice, our identity, our response, our condition, our conduct, our wealth and our walk. Go back with me, if you would, to the book of... Wow, is that clock right? That clock's not correct, is it?
No.
Okay, good. So let's keep going. No. Watch this. Let me just... One other quick point here, and then I didn't realize that it went by that fast, but watch this. Go back to Ephesians 4. Watch this, and let's just wrap this up. Now, your homework for next week... You guys all like homework, right? Did you think that the last time you'd ever get homework is when you graduated from school? Your homework for next week is to read Ephesians 4 through 6. Just to read through the chapter. Read through the chapters. There's only three chapters. It won't take that long. Okay? But just kind of read through it. Okay? Joe and Sue, you got a long drive home. She can read to you while you're driving, Joe. There you go. Henry and Mercy, the same thing. Y'all can read in the car with your son Jared there and everything. You know, reading on the way home. So. Yeah. Okay. Well, better than you sleep while she drives, right? I mean, better than you sleep while you're driving, you know, so something like that, yeah. But watch this. Look how the Apostle Paul says in chapter 4, 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, what's the next word there? Now realize this, as we now are going to embark upon that part of Ephesians where Paul talks about our walk. Notice it begins with the word beseech. He starts with the idea of beseeching. It's what now? It's a grace word. Yes. To beseech is to implore. Yes. On the basis of love, on the basis of grace. Paul's going to go and say some pretty direct things here. Like, let him that stole steal no more. Like, husbands, love your wives. Like, better not say the wife's one, right? Anyway, wives, you know, submit. He's going to say some pretty intense things here. And it's going to take some, it's going to take a response of grace. And so he begins this, I beseech you. I just beseech you on the basis of God's love and grace. That's how he proceeds along here, okay? So may the Lord help us as we just read through this, as we think this through, as we truly seek to have a proper response to our identity, as we seek to walk in light of our wealth that God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we're thankful that we can spend some time this morning again looking into your word that really does lay this out so orderly, so simply. And it does tell us about the simplicity that's in Christ. And we thank you for this. We thank you that we can spend some time studying these things, learning about these things. And we do pray, like the Apostle Paul wrote, that we would learn and that we would receive the instruction that we are privileged to learn from your word in the details of life. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.